The transition of what we know as broadcast TV from analog to digital is scheduled for February 17, 2009. There are some efforts to try to extend that deadline, and last week the Bush administration went on record supporting a proposal providing for a 30-day extension in order to provide more public safety announcements and information about the digital TV transition. We'll find out a little bit more about that during this hour, but we know it's coming, and apparently there is a lot of confusion about what it means for TV viewers. Some 500 people, viewers, are calling our Wisconsin Public Broadcasting audience services every month, asking about converter boxes, transmission issues, whether they need this or that, and what they need in order to continue to get TV once this changeover occurs next year. We'll try to answer some of those questions and yours too about the transition from analog to digital and what it means for you. You can call 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have two guests with us from Wisconsin Public Broadcasting, Wisconsin Public Television. Michael Bridgman is the publicist for Wisconsin Public Television. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being here. And also with us is Sarah Chittaranjan, who is the manager for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting's audience services. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
So, Michael, you suggested that this might be a program for Wisconsin Public Radio, in part because of this tremendous volume of calls and questions that are out there. People know this is coming, but or do they?
Well, yeah, people do know it's coming. There's been a very concerted effort to get the word out. And the latest surveys have shown that most people are aware of the conversion. There's still some indications that not everybody is doing what they need to do about the conversion. And so the education effort continues on all stations. Public stations, commercial stations are mandated, actually, to do a certain amount of announcements by the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. So I think there's general awareness of it. Now it's the question of what to do. And then when people actually start to make the transition, in some cases, they're facing particular issues based on where they live, distance from transmitter towers, and other factors. It's a more complicated situation than initially thought, I think, it's fair to say. A year and a half ago when this was first presented, it was all pretty clean and simple. And what we're learning is that in practice, it's a little more complicated than we had initially thought.
What can you tell us about this possible extension that's in the news?
The extension that you mentioned earlier is what's been called a digital nightlight, which is the idea of the current plan is that at midnight on February 17th, the digital signal becomes the only signal. The current signal, which we call analog, goes off the air. So if I wake up on February 18th and tune on my TV and I have not made the conversion, I would get literally nothing. The idea is to have some kind of minimal signal for 30 days following the transition. So starting on February 18th, there would be a minimal signal that I would still continue to get, but it would basically be informational. There'd probably be a message saying, the digital transition has happened, here's what you need to do. And I think, as you indicated, some kind of emergency messages would still be there. The proposal was advanced. It went through the Senate a couple of weeks ago, was approved. It needs to also be approved by the U.S. House. They're back in session next week. I don't know what they're going to do, but we'll know next week whether this so-called extension or digital nightlight is going to continue.
But for all intents and purposes, on February 18th, that's when the transition happens, and you'll need to do what you need to do in
Correct.
Order to get your TV signal.
Right. And important thing to remember is what is changing is over-the-air antenna reception of television. That's the transition that's happening. I think most people understand that if they are subscribers to cable or if they have satellite reception or some other means, telephone companies are now providing service as well, they're fine. They need not do anything. But we also know that in Wisconsin, at least as of a couple of years ago, which is the data we had, that 23% of households in Wisconsin had over-the-air antenna reception of TV. That was the second highest in the country. when I say that, people always want to know, so what's the first highest? And I don't know.
But that's quite a bit. I'm surprised by that. Yeah,
it is. Now, in some cases, you've got households where people have two sets on cable and one on antenna or whatever. So you have what you might call mixed households.
That's our household. We have some cable, and then there's the, you know, the guest bedroom that that does not. And you know, maybe we'll get a converter box for that. But that's the only reason why we'd have to get one of these converter boxes if we don't have cable or satellite hooked up to a particular TV.
Correct. If you have cable or satellite, those companies will take continue to deliver the signal. You don't have to worry. It's those people who are watching using an antenna.
Yeah. So, Sarah, what are people, why are 500 people calling you every month? What are they asking you?
Well, it definitely ranges. We have people calling still just for the basic coupon number to get your coupons through the federal government. And I'll just plug those right now. That's 1-888-388-2009.
Say that again.
That's 1-888-388-2009. Otherwise, you can also go to their website, which is dtv2009.gov, to apply for the coupons. And that's significantly easier for some. The phone system does use a voice recognition software, so it's an automated system. For example, my last name, it didn't recognize my last name and ultimately kicked me off the system. So if I wanted to apply...
I can't imagine why it didn't recognize. No, but... Yeah. But you will... you'll get a $40 coupon to buy a converter box from this DTV.gov place?
Yeah, you can actually get up to two $40 coupons, and they're each good for a converter box. You can't actually combine them for one. They have to be used individually, and there are certain converter boxes that are coupon eligible, and there are some that aren't. And it should be clear wherever you go in your local retailer. If it's not clear to you which ones are coupon eligible, they should be able to help you out.
Yeah. So and so how much are you dishing out then for a converter, even with this coupon?
Well, they do range in price, like any electronics, from $40 to $70 is kind of the average that we've seen. So you can get somewhere. You just end up paying for the tax. It really comes down to what your local retailer carries, because some stores are only carrying one converter box, some are carrying a few more, but also you can purchase them over the phone or over the internet, and that's something people are forgetting. A lot of people have had their coupons expire because they haven't been able to find them locally, not realizing that you can purchase them from certain places over the phone or on the internet.
Yeah, so besides that, people wanting a coupon or wanting to get a converter box, what else are people worried about or wanting to know about?
Transmission issues is a huge problem. Well, I shouldn't say problem, more of an issue, because people are so used to having their setup for their analog television, their antenna stays here, and you know, they get all their channels just how they planned for, you know, the past 5-10 years. But with digital reception, it is a little more delicate than analog reception, and so you do have to do a little tweaking to get the same reception you did before. If you have really great analog reception, the odds of you being able to get really good digital reception are very high, and it's just a matter of needing to tweak a few things. And some people are finding that they do need to upgrade their antennas to still get the same quality signal.
That was going to be my next question, is once you have a converter box, do you need a special antenna? But you're saying maybe not, but you might have to?
Yeah, and there are some places that are selling what are called digital antennas, and that's just a marketing ploy, if you will. There, you don't have to upgrade to a special kind of antenna that's different than the kind you had before. We always recommend that people use their existing equipment that they have before they try upgrading, and when you upgrade, you just need to upgrade to a UHF or VHF antenna, depending on the stations that are carried in your market and what spectrum space they're occupying.
Well, Sarah, I know that you and other members of our audience services team are often answering calls right out here in our lobby, and I walk by every once in a while. And here, well, you take that plug and you put it in this socket. I mean, you are literally giving people instructions over the telephone sometimes on how to even hook up the converter box. Are they pretty confusing?
Converter box hookup are fairly straightforward, but you definitely have some people who are uncomfortable with making these sorts of hookups. They might have had a friend hook it up for them, you know, their television as is, 5 years ago and haven't looked at it since and are a little unsure of unplugging this and then plugging it back into it. And then also people are bringing VCRs into the mix, and that also can create a host of various configurations depending on what you're trying to do. How many? Some people, I had one gentleman call, he had 13 VCRs. So he definitely had quite a complicated configuration.
You know, we have we have questions about VCRs and a whole bunch of other items lined up here, including, let me take a call right away, Diane in Milwaukee, since we're talking about the converter box. Hi, Diane, you're on the air.
Right, I got a converter box. I get the program. Just as an aside, I noticed that the reception is good when the weather is good, but yesterday, because there was snow coming down, every third or fourth word disappeared, no matter what I did with the aerial, and I got a new aerial. But what I want to do is I used to be able to use my VCR to program a program in the middle of the night or to watch a program on one channel and program on the other channel. I can no longer do that. I can only record what I'm actually watching. And what I need, if I have to get another converter box, I'll do so. But I need precise instructions on how to hook this up so I can use my VCR the way I used to be. I don't really think this is an improvement.
Well, definitely the issues you're running into are very common. First, I should just say digital reception is more susceptible to interference than analog. So things like wind, leaves, snow, inclement weather can definitely impede your signal. And the best way to get around that is to have, you know, more powerful antenna can sometimes break through those. But, you know, and I don't know the technicalities of the antenna that you did upgrade to, but that's something that might be able to help. Otherwise, you know, sometimes the interference is just strong enough that there's nothing you can do to get around that.
I'm sorry. Are there any places where you can just find diagrams on this is how you hook up the converter box and a converter box to your VCR?
Yes, and actually on our website, we do have a lot of resources, FAQs, and that's just www.wpt.org. There are a few links on there, and it's actually wpt.org/digital TV. We have some FAQs, some diagrams, some videos on there. I would highly recommend if you have some questions that you visit that site.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Diane is the same caller from our open line last week who wanted us to do a program on this changeover, but in particular, how come she couldn't use her VCR anymore?
And the problem that Diane is facing, as Sarah has said, is pretty is fairly common. And the, you know, sort of conceptually what it is that the converter box that she has purchased becomes the tuner. In the past, there was a tuner in her TV, and not just hers, but mine too, but a tuner in the TV and a tuner in the VCR, so you could tune them independently. Once you've got a converter box, you have only one digital tuner, so that's why you can only record the signal that you are watching. There are a couple ways to deal with that. As Sarah mentioned, we have diagrams about how to do that basic hookup, but I know that's dissatisfactory to a lot of people because they've gotten used to the idea of watching program A and recording program B. As Diane implied, a second converter box because it becomes then another tuner for the VCR. And I think, Sarah, you've said there are some VCRs out there with digital tuners, but they're expensive.
They are, and I found them after extensive web searching, so I'm not sure how widely available they are. If you have a local retailer that you trust, and maybe they could find them easier than I could, as they have more experience with that sort of thing. So I'd recommend if you're specifically looking for that, just checking in with your local retailer to see if they could get you one.
Well, that might have answered Tim's question, but let me bring Tim in Fond du Lac on to see if he has a follow-up. But you wanted to know about that, right, Tim?
Yes, that's correct. Also, I was wondering if there might be a DVD recorder or a digital video recorder that would have a digital tuner in it so that you could time shift and set it accordingly.
Actually, the DVD recorders are widely available, and I'm not aware of one that doesn't have a digital tuner. Actually, there was a DVD VCR recorder combo that a woman had called about, and it had both a digital and analog tuner, and only the DVD recorder aspect of it could record digitally. The VCR could not. So that's another thing you want to be aware of when you're purchasing whatever recording device you have, that you want to make sure that it has a digital tuner that can record the signal that you're looking for it to pick up. and that it's not split out that way.
Michael?
And digital video recorders, I think he also asked about those. Are those, they have digital tuners in them now?
Oh, such as TiVo and...
TiVos and those sorts of devices.
You know, those actually, I'm not intimately familiar with TiVo, but if you want to call back to our viewer services line, which is 1-800-422-9707, we can take down a message and do a little investigating and then get back to you on that specific issue.
We will take more calls on the transition to digital TV. Coming up in February, we are talking with two guests who have been dealing with these questions for a long time from Wisconsin Public Television, Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. Michael Bridgman is publicist for Wisconsin Public Television, and Sarah Chittaranjan is our audience services manager for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. 1-800-642-1234 is our toll-free number if you'd like to ask a question or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this first day of December, Monday, December the 1st. Coming up this afternoon, Ben Marins is with you. It's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, the U.S. spends more on medical care than any other country in the world, yet ranks 34th in the world for life expectancy. After 5, Ben and his guest will discuss health care obstacles in America. That's later today on the Ideas Network. We are talking about the transition to digital TV. It's coming up quick. Wisconsin Public Broadcasting is being flooded with calls about how this is going to work and what we need to do to make sure we still get our TV signal. I'm talking with a couple of public television's resident experts about what to expect come February 17th and what you can do to prepare yourself. Michael Bridgman, publicist for Wisconsin Public Television, and Sarah Chittaranjan, audience services manager for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. Do you ever think, Michael, that you're going to turn into you're almost like a technical engineering expert now?
Yeah, I didn't anticipate that, and I would emphasize the almost.
Almost.
because I'm not a technical expert.
I know.
There's a lot of this. I frankly don't understand all of this by any means, but exposure to the questions has helped me understand it a lot better. And I think Sarah's probably found this true, that most of the questions we're getting are in fairly broad categories, but they're interesting situations that people have to deal with. For example, portable TVs. Probably will not work. There are some that maybe will be adaptable, but you would need a converter box.
Right.
People in remote areas who have adjustable rotors on their antennas are facing particular issues, for example, because they may be getting some of their signals from Wausau and other signals from a different market. And so people are facing all kinds of particular situations with this conversion. It's one thing if you live in a town near the transmitters, relatively simple. But as distance increases and terrain varies and so on, different issues come up.
Yeah, I just a couple of calls during our programming here on radio, Sarah, and some people seem upset. They're upset that, you know, they're not getting the channel they want, or their reception isn't as good as they want, or they can't use their VCR the way they want to. Are you finding people are a little bit perturbed by this?
I would definitely use the word frustrated to describe a lot of our callers. You know, it's hard. It's this is a huge shift in technology for our nation. You know, it's in television. It's been a while since we've had such a huge shift that's been mandatory as well. And so a lot of people are faced with difficult situations that they have to be able to think creatively to get around. And it's hard to adjust.
I meant to bring that up because the mandate came up in last week's Open Line and someone said, I don't understand. This mandate doesn't make any sense. Why are we doing this? Michael, why are we doing this?
Well, again, not being a technician.
Yeah.
I think the fundamental issue that's motivating the switch to digital is efficient use of spectrum. Broadcast television is not an efficient use of broadcast spectrum. It's a system that was put in place back in the 40s. It's worked. And it's become just part of the environment for most of us. But the switch to digital is about efficient use of the spectrum. So the federal government, you can't tell this as a viewer, but TV stations are actually broadcasting at different frequencies now. it's transparent to the viewer because you still are watching, tuning to the same channel, at least ostensibly. But part of it is to increase efficiency. And earlier this year, there was a big auction of the available spectrum that's being freed up by this digital transition. And that auction is for emergency services. It's for increased use of cell phones and other communication devices. So it's really about efficient use of spectrum. I think I try to remind people, too, that this is not just the Americans doing this. This is an international trend, if you will, because most broadcasting was set up so long ago, and technologies have changed. So, for example, in Britain, in the United Kingdom, they've started the transition. They're doing it region by region. I think some other countries have also made the transition. Others are not planning to do it for a long time, but it's not just a crazy idea by some engineers sitting in Washington. It's motivated by, I would say, sensible notions about how to better use spectrum. The problem is knowing how to communicate this to the public, the feeling that it's being forced on people, and not knowing, frankly, all the technical ramifications of it. Even the brightest engineers in the world, I think, did not necessarily know exactly how digital signals were going to act.
Let me now go to another caller, Vicki in Pleasant Prairie. Hi, Vicki, you're on the air.
Hi. We are in a market which is basically equidistant between Chicago and Milwaukee. And we upgraded our antenna, and we got the digital converter box. And right now we're finding a problem with getting signal from Milwaukee or Chicago on any given day, and we find ourselves going back to analog on any given day, being frustrated with the signal strengths that we're receiving from either market. And now we are wondering what's going to happen if we're going to be forced to go back to something. Well, we never had cable, but now we're wondering if we're going to be forced to go back to cable someday.
What sort of antenna are you using right now?
We upgraded to something that can receive a digital signal. We used to have one of those UHF, VHF metal fin type of ones up on top of our roof that used to be one that used to be a rotor type, but now it's a stable T type of one that we put on the mast that we have on top of our house.
So you do have an outdoor antenna?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
One thing, Vicki, that we're finding is that if you think about the over-the-air signal in terms of width, I guess, width of reception, it's you know, and I'm not sure, that, again, I'm not an engineer either, so I don't know the technical term, but the analog width of reception that you could get, you know, you'd have your antenna pointed in any spot within that, you know, certain amount of width that the signal is getting to you. That is slightly narrower for digital. So the width of the signal, the space within which you can move to get a good signal. And so we're finding that people who previously had their antennas pointed in a direction to get certain stations are needing to readjust and kind of recalibrate their antennas.
Yeah, we've kind of tweaked around with that, too.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yours is stable and can't move.
Well, we've tweaked the antenna location around on the mast itself, varying its location from the T facing, you know, with the bar going more in like a northwest southeast or facing north, like on the mast, it's a four-pointed mast, and so we've kind of moved it around on the mast. You know, you get to a point where it's like, how much time am I going to spend on the roof moving this goofy antenna around and things like that. And the other part of the question was, is the digital signal, when this conversion moves over, are the digital signals going to up at all when the analog goes out? Are they going to be boosting their signals at all?
No, I don't think so. I think that the signals, digital signals, I think are at the strength they are going to be.
Okay.
I think that's the case.
Yes, and it definitely for our stations, and we suspect the same is true of other stations. But Vicki, if you wouldn't mind actually giving our viewer services department a call, as Michael brought up, each person has such a unique set of issues that often, you know, just kind of need tailored help. And so if you could give our viewer services a call, and I'll give that number again, it's 1-800-422-9707. They have a series of questions that they can go through with you, and if they're not able to help you, could shoot these questions over to an engineer to be able to get you a little bit more help.
Okay, so can you give me that number again? I'm sorry.
It's 1-800 1-800-422-9707.
Okay, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for
calling. Yeah, thanks very much. Good luck to you, Vicki. Yeah, and if all fails, maybe she does have to be hooked up to cable. Then you get the signal. Is that right?
Yes, you will get the signal if you have cable. But the challenge for some people, Pleasant Prairie, some notion of where that is. It's down in the southeastern part of the state. But there are people who do not simply have access to cable. Cable tends not to be well. Right. It's not in rural areas for the most part. So in rural areas, what people often switch to is satellite.
But
not everybody can do satellite. There can be terrain issues with satellite. In this area, satellites generally need to be pointed, I guess, more or less southwest. And like a friend of mine, there may be a hill with trees on it southwest of the house. Mm-hmm. So now you can have the satellite dish off on the edge of the property and run a cable to your – there are ways to get around this, but the problem is for many people – The solutions become increasingly expensive.
Let's go to thank you, Vicki. Robert in Boulder Junction is with us now. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I've got a different problem. I've got a digital television set, but then I've got two ordinary television sets that I bought converter boxes for, and the one that has the flat screen LCD gets everything. Including CBS, fine. The digital boxes won't pick up 57, which is CBS.
You know, I've heard that as an issue. People got a converter box for a non-satellite, non-cable television, and then started losing channels that they didn't get. They didn't get the channels that they used to get. Have you heard this, Sarah?
Yeah, and again, it comes down to just sort of tweaking your antenna. If you think there are two ways that you can minimize interference. In a perfect world, your antenna would have a clear line of sight to the tower that you're receiving the signal for, but obviously that would be rather difficult to achieve. So you want to reduce interference horizontally and vertically. So vertically, the way you can do that is by moving your antenna physically higher in your home. And some people, then that can get as high as your attic antenna. And so if you have an antenna in your attic, however, there is 20% reduction of your signal just due to the roof. It's, the type of material that roofs are made out of. But for some people, that's still a net gain if their signal goes up by 80%, but, then further reduced by 20%, that's still overall a net gain. And then also horizontally is the other way for you to reduce interference. So if you have the best possible place in your home for your antenna to be in, is in the window that is facing the direction of the transmitters that you're receiving the signal from. That is, the window is, the thinnest part of your home. The wall would be thicker, so if it's, next to the wall, definitely you want to have it on the side of the house. If possible, that's in the direction facing your home. I'm sorry, in the direction facing the transmitter. If you can't move it, if that's on the other side of your home, in general, people are finding to have better reception near windows rather than near walls. There's something about the reflective properties of windows that also can optimize your reception, even if it is on the other side of your home from the direction you're trying to get the signal from.
So his missing CBS affiliate might reappear if he readjusts his antenna.
It might. I've helped a friend with this, and it took a while. It took a couple of weeks, actually, not of constant work by any means, but over time, we kept moving the indoor rabbit ear antenna setup closer to a window, just as Sarah said, and that certainly helped. And then constantly rescanning to make sure that we're getting all the signals we can. So we finally got 5 out of 6. Mm-hmm. And I think the sixth is simply never going to happen. This friend is pretty happy because he got terrible reception before this. Digital, this is a case where the switch from analog to digital has been a revelation in some ways because he's getting signals he never got very well before. But he's not getting them all. Mm-hmm. And I can't figure that one out.
Good luck to you, Robert. Thanks very much for the call. Now we go to Dawn in Wyota. Hi, Dawn. You're on the air.
Hi. We moved here in 2005. The house was already built. We bought it from an old farmer, so, the house is where it's at. My husband is an electrical mechanical engineer. He is extremely frustrated. He's also extremely frugal. He won't get a satellite because of the cost. it'd be an extra $40 a month. And there's a lot of channels I know we would not watch. All we want are our basic channels. 2005, we were struck by lightning, and we lost his Sony Trinitron. Those groans are men across the nation knowing what that TV meant to him. When we talked to the insurance, they explained to me this would be happening, and they told me there are TVs available in digital and analog. They suggested I buy one. So I did. My brother was home at Christmas, and he said, well, do you have an amplifier? And he explained to me, it's $50. I don't mind a one-time cost. It's not a monthly expense. We got that. We went from not being able to get CBS on analog to being able to get two NBC channels and five PBS channels, and that was great, except I cannot get all my digital after Easter. About Easter to Thanksgiving, I am sporadic across the board with my reception. And I absolutely cannot get NBC. And we have a giant antenna that's got an 8-foot span. We are as high up as we can go. Our neighbor is not willing to take down all their silos and their buildings and their farm between us and Madison.
What's wrong with
them? You know,
yeah.
There's nothing we can do. I talked to the FCC about. I called NBC, and they gave me the number to the FCC, which that number's not hard, that's not easy to get. And I talked to them, and they told me that the signals are going to go up slightly, not necessarily significantly enough that it's going to help me. They are going to put up reverb or repeat towers, but they cannot dictate where they go. And unfortunately, it is probably going to be where the more populated areas are than the areas that are with the least reception.
Yeah,
I don't have cable available to get. So even if that, because that, I know when I lived in Rockford, Illinois, I could get basic, just my standard channels for $8 a month. $8 a month isn't bad. $50 a month,
yeah,
Dawn, even if it were available, we don't have the money for it.
Let's see if either Michael or Sarah has any advice for you. That you can hear the frustration.
Yeah,
in your voice,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm not going to start with advice, but just recognition that that what Dawn's approach and her family's approach is not unusual, which is to say that people who do not have cable or satellite usually do not have cable or satellite either by situation or by choice. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who do not want to pay for watching television every month. They're perfectly happy with what they get over the air, and it's adequate, and it's essentially free. Yes, there are one-time costs. And that's not uncommon. And those are the people who I think are going to continue to be most frustrated by this transition because they're going to face situations like Dawn's. I'm not entirely sure and exactly how she could overcome that. And if her husband is a mechanical, electrical engineer, he knows a lot more than I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and actually, I think what's happening, Dawn, in your area is something that also happens with radio reception over the summer. Reception in general for TV and radio can change throughout the day or throughout the seasons, depending on where the sun and the clouds are. And in the summer, radio and television interference is higher due to, just the position of everything. And there is a technical name for this that escapes me at this time, but I'm not sure that there is anything you can do either. It sounds like you have done just about as much as you can, short of, subscribing to satellite. And unfortunately, this is, a seasonal pattern transmissions can travel significant distances, often interfering with other transmissions. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dawn. Thank you very much for the call. Keep calling them at the FCC. It's good that both you aren't really technical experts, though, because you are able to talk in lay people's terms, and you're dealing with this just like all of us. So, talking with Sara Chittaranjan, Audience Services Manager for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. Receiving some 500 calls a month about how it's going to work, the transition to digital TV coming in February. Analog goes away, digital comes your way. And we are answering your questions about what you need to do to be prepared and any other questions you have about this. Also talking with Michael Bridgman, publicist for Wisconsin Public Television. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. It's Monday, so that means it's all things political after 9. Kathleen and her guests will talk about the political headlines from across the nation and around the world from the past week or so. That's coming up after 9 o'clock. We're talking about the transition from analog TV to digital TV. It's coming fast. It's scheduled for February 17th, 2009. Are you ready? Gary in De Pere is our next caller. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, hi. I've got a much, much less complicated problem than I've heard so far. I can't understand why a mandated program would have expiration dates on the coupons. I've got expired coupons. I sent them back to Herb Cole in July and said, what's going on? And he wrote back and he said, well, we're going to try and find out. So I got a letter from some agency there that is in charge of this. They said, well, you're pretty much out of luck. So I called the FCC and said, you're pretty much out of luck. I called the Portland, Oregon, where they issue these things. You said, you're pretty much out of luck. What's that mean?
Well, unfortunately, I think it means that you're pretty much out of luck.
Oh, you can't get new coupons?
No, the coupon program in some ways is a wonderful thing because you can get these $40 coupons to apply toward purchase of a converter box. But they do have expiration dates on them. They're generally 90 days. Now, that's from the date they're mailed, not from the date you order them, but from the date they're mailed. And they do expire. And once they are expired, they cannot be reissued. That's the rule of the program, so they cannot be reissued. Also, if people lose them, they cannot be reissued. They're like cash, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it's cash that dissolves. It disappears. And another one of those frustrations we've heard about. And just know that this is, in fact, a federally mandated and a federally administered program from the NTIA, those National Telecommunications mm-hmm. Information Agency. I can't remember what it all stands for. And this is, I was just reading a story about this last week, that it was a congressional mandate that they expire within 90 days, and that if they expire or you lose them, you're essentially out of luck.
And I think the motivation behind that expiration date was so they could keep tabs on how much money was in the program. In theory, there was going to be a phase two of the program where they reevaluated how much money they had left and how they were going to have people apply for coupons if there were going to be other restrictions. We haven't seen phase two happen. I don't think either of us have heard even rumblings of phase two, but I think that was the ideology behind setting the expiration date is so they can keep track, because human nature is to procrastinate. If I got the coupons, I probably would wait a number of months to use them myself. But, you know, you have all these people sitting on these coupons, then you don't know, because there are a lot of people who ultimately decide to not use the coupons, that it's too much of a pain for them for whatever reason. So then they do upgrade to cable. And then you would have these coupons sitting there unredeemed, but unable to be used by anybody else.
Yeah, the latest figure I saw, which I think is from November, was that there have been 35 million coupons distributed.
Wow.
14.5 million have been redeemed.
Oh, my.
So that's less than half. I think there are a lot of people who got the coupons with not knowing if they were going to use them, never used them. And what Sarah says is right. It was one means, I think, of trying to keep track of the pool of money.
I'm not trying to, you know, offer any kind of getting around the rules, but could Gary in De Pere ask his neighbor, who doesn't really need a converter box, to get one of these coupons and then use his neighbor's?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The two per household is what the offer is. And in fact, I did that for a friend. I got my two per household mm-hmm. and bought a converter box for somebody else, partly because this was somebody I didn't think was going to necessarily get around to it or want mm-hmm. to deal with the phone or the online ordering. I'd also investigated for my mother, who's in an assisted living facility. Mm-hmm. Turns out that facility is going to convert, but I also had the second coupon for her in case she needed it, because she was not going to order one. So friends, neighbors, in fact, the article I read said, if it expires, ask around.
Yeah. So, Gary, ask around. Did you have something else, Sarah?
One thing I do want to note is the coupons don't have your name on them or anything. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been hesitant to have a friend order because of that, but they just come with a number that looks like a credit card, but it doesn't actually have your name on it or anything. So,
and maybe for those just joining us, too, you mentioned right at the top of the program, if you haven't gotten one of these coupons yet, not if they expired or you lost them, but if you want to get these coupons, there's a number or a website you can go to.
Yeah, that's the phone number is 1-888-388-2009, and the website is dtv2009.gov.
And these links and so on, you can get them by calling our audience services staff at 1-800-422-9707. And I want to point out that those 500 calls are not all answered by Sarah. She does have some help. Or on our website, wpt.org/digitaltv. There are links there as well.
We have an email from Dave in Madison. Maybe if people are not able to get their channels after installing the box, they need to remember to rescan for channels with their television. I picked up numerous extra channels after scanning.
Yes.
So that's sort of like when you set up a TV to begin with, make sure you've got all the channels.
Yeah. Right. And the converter box comes with a remote device, and you can rescan. And in fact, we encourage people to rescan frequently. And as this person indicates, the thing is that when you do this, you will pick up everything. So, for example, Wisconsin Public Television actually has 3 digital channels. If you're watching analog, you have one choice. If you're watching digital TV, there are 3 channels that Wisconsin Public Television offers. Many, but not all stations are offering more than one channel. So it does increase options. That's not always important to people, but it does increase options, and you will typically pick up more. I have rescanned pretty frequently for some people because it's just once you've rescanned and your converter box has found that channel, it will know that that channel's there.
Let's take another call. Let's see. Paul in Duluth is next. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for this program. I've had reception problems, too, but you pretty well addressed them, so I can't say it was a dark and stormy night. But I have 2 other issues that are of concern to me. One, you know, I used the coupon and I got my converter box, but I worry about the public safety aspect of it. The public airwaves are supposed to, one of their primary functions is to alert the public to any number of situations, weather related or in these days terrorism or whatever it might be. And if you completely lose your digital signal, I think that puts an impediment in the way. And just the other point, I have a satellite dish, and on that infamous night, I lost both my I was watching the vice presidential debate, and I watched it on both. I was originally watching it on PBS Digital, and I lost the signal, so I went over and tried my satellite, and I lost the signal there, too. So I ended up listening to the rest of it in analog. My satellite provider would be very happy to charge me. I live in an area where I can get local channels over my satellite, but it's $10 a month. So I'm wondering about the profit motive there, and I'll listen off the air if you don't mind.
All right. Do you have enough from our caller?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure if there's a question there, but the public safety issue is an important one, and I don't have a good answer for that. I mean, this is exactly the kind of thing to talk to Congress people about, representatives, because I think there are some issues. He's also pointed out that satellite signals are also very subject to weather situations. Rain can interfere with those as they do with digital signals.
Mm-hmm. And anything to add, Sarah?
No, I think you summed it up.
Mike and Racine, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I guess I want to be the opposite voice. I've found this switch to be tremendous. I went from getting 4 channels over the air antenna wise to now I get on the order of 20 to 25 depending on the weather.
Wow!
And I do that with rabbit ear antennas, and I'm in a Racine area. I can on certain weather days, I can also pick up additional channels out of Chicago, which I had never been able to pick up before. So much so that I canceled my satellite service, and I just now go with over the air. Now, some of the things that I've done myself and then in helping family and friends is there's the very first thing I was mentioned earlier, but I got to emphasize this. Do not take down your old antenna until you try the new converter box. Oftentimes, the new antennas that they're selling are not as necessarily as good as what you may have already have. I mean, if you were optimized to be able to pick up long-range channels on the old analog, that still may be a usable antenna. The other thing is, as was also mentioned, is direction is very important. There's a website out, I believe it's called antennaweb.org, but there are actually several websites that if you put in your street address, they will help you with the precise direction that you need to be pointing your antenna to get individual TV stations from different communities. And the other thing that I'd like to add is that with the one of the things we've got to remember is most of the digital channels are in what's called UHF. And so, you know, there are a few that are VHF, but for the UHF, that is a higher frequency signal. It's more prone to things like humidity and so forth, and does not reflect as well from clouds and other objects. And that's one of the problems where now if you are behind a big building, there may be a problem there. But that was always a problem. You probably didn't get very good VHF reception.
Mike, I don't mean to interrupt, but we're running very short on time. And it sounds like Mike should be hired by Audience Services, Sarah, to answer some people's questions. He knows what's going on and apparently is a big fan.
He sure does. Thank you so much, Mike. We do as a department, and there are a bunch of us here answering phones. So if you do have specific issues, you can call our viewer services line. But thank you, Mike, because we as a department tend to get the more complicated issues. If people are okay, they don't often find the need to call us and let us know that they're all set up and that they're a fan of the transition. So it's good to have that shot of optimism. So thank you.
So Michael, we're gonna, a couple of months from now, we're gonna lose analog, except maybe for those for a month of emergency messages if that one extension passes.
Right. That's actually 79 days from today. Mm-hmm. Is February 17th. And that's when the big change happens. Now, Mike pointed out a lot of good things. There are a lot of upsides to digital TV. And the other thing we've been emphasizing is, it's probably self-evident from the conversation, but it's available now. There is no reason to wait to do this. Get the converter box as soon as possible. The more time you've got to get your signal sort of stabilized as best you can, the better. It can take a while to sort of get this all figured out. It can be instantaneous or it can take a while. It depends where you live and the transmitters and so on. But there's no reason to wait. While the coupons are nice, you don't need a coupon. Mm-hmm. You can buy a converter box at almost any retailers that got them without a coupon box. So we're trying to encourage people to move quickly.
Well, we might have to do this again before the conversion, because we had so many calls. Sarah, Michael, thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you,
Sean. We will talk again about this issue in the near future. If you want more information, WPTV.org should have a number of these links. Is that right, Sarah?
WPT.org.
Oh, I'm sorry. WPT.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.